This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. Governor Tony Evers will make his first budget address this coming Thursday. He'll outline his spending priorities for the coming 2 years, and officials from municipalities around the state will be listening with a keen ear as they set out to create their own spending plans. But many of these budgets will be reliant on property tax revenue to fund their services rather than state aid.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum explained just how dependent they are on property taxes versus other sources of revenue and how Wisconsin compares with other places. Rob Henkin is president of the forum and joins us in the studio to talk about the organization's findings. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So can you lay out how this research fits in the context of the Policy Forum's other looks at property taxes? This is not the first bite at the apple, as they say.
That is correct. So we did a report back in 2017 that honed in specifically on the city of Milwaukee, and it looked at the city's revenue structure, compared it to 39 peer cities with populations between 300,000 and a million, came out with some very interesting findings. This is really the report that we released just recently is a direct follow-up to that report, and we're asking the broader question, when we look across the board at how all municipal governments are financed in the state of Wisconsin and compare that to the other 49 states, what do we look like? I think a lot of things that we found are similar to the findings in the first report. We are extremely reliant on the property tax. We make greater use of state aid to support municipalities, but the rub there is that the state aid has not increased for years.
Well, so before we get into the nuts and bolts here, the first thing that jumps out at me in looking at this data is that it stops in 2015. Does that speak to a certain lag in getting complete data about this issue here or nationally, or is there something else going on?
It does speak to the lag in national data. So we use the data source that is used by cities and states across the country, and there is a lot of data scrubbing that has to be done to try to get it to be apples and apples. And in fact, in this case, while we are essentially using about 140 municipalities, cities and villages across the state to be representative of all cities and villages.
Okay. Well, so with that in mind, I think we're probably aware here in Wisconsin that property taxes play a substantial role in how municipalities are able to pay the bills and fund programs. But just how significant a role is it in comparison to maybe both our peer states in the Midwest, but nationally as well?
Yep. So nationally, our reliance is 42.2%. So if you take a look at the total pie of funding supporting Wisconsin municipal governments, 42% of that is coming from the property tax. The national average, Mitch, is 23.3%. So that just jumps right out at you. We also isolated 11 Midwestern peers and found that we are by far the highest. Minneapolis is next in the low 30s.
Minnesota.
I'm sorry, Minnesota.
Yes.
Thank you for the correction. Next in the low 30s. And then a couple other states in the high 20s, most of them really around that national average or lower. And so you see that, and you also see that when it comes to other taxes, our percentage there is 1.6%. The national average is 21.3% in terms of, again, sales and income tax support for municipal governments.
And you're right, this was not always the case in Wisconsin. There was a period in our history where it was almost the opposite.
Yes. So what happened is once upon a time, state aids were the big game in town for municipal governments. And roughly 20 or so years ago, those lines crossed. We tracked the line of property tax support versus state aid again. So if you look at about 1985, state aids were about the low 40s, 42-43%, whereas property taxes were in the low 20s. That has now completely reversed.
Can you give us a history lesson? What happened that these trajectories changed so much?
Well, here it's very much a combination of two things. Number one is that, again, the state aids have essentially remained flat. Certainly for the last two decades, there has not been a big increase in state aid. So while the dollar amounts may be the same, the percentage of the overall funding streams supporting municipal governments has gone down. At the same time, again, an interesting story because you'd say, well, okay, if property taxes have grown from low 20s to low 40s in terms of percentage support for municipal governments, well, that means property taxes have gone way up. Well, they did go up prior to about 10 years ago when the state imposed strict levy limits. But even within those strict levy limits, as a share of revenue supporting municipal governments, we have seen the property tax grow.
Well, and so what about limitations? How do the restrictions on property tax increases compare between Wisconsin and other states in the Midwest and nationally?
I think that was one of the most interesting findings in this report. So we did isolate 10 of the most property tax reliant states in terms of supporting their municipalities in the country. We looked at the property tax levy limits in each of those states, and we found that the state of Wisconsin's is the most restrictive. So here we have a situation where we've made our municipal governments very reliant on property taxes. We have strict levy limits. They're tied exclusively to the rate of growth of new construction in each municipality. And so that can be a very challenging thing for municipalities that aren't growing. The other interesting factor there is that when that linkage was made, we were seeing property tax or new construction growth in the 2.5%, 3%, 4% range across the board, across all municipalities in the state. The recession hit. We've yet to see that recover. And so now the vast majority of municipal governments are not seeing increases of greater than 1.5 or 2 percentage points.
Well, and so looking around the Midwest, what does the mix generally look like elsewhere?
It's interesting. So you have sort of these pockets of states. So we have the Missouri model, which is really almost equivalent use of property tax, income tax, and sales tax to support municipal governments, the big three when it comes to revenue for local governments, both locally and nationally. In that case, really, though, the income tax is limited to the biggest cities. So St. Louis and Kansas City are allowed to impose a municipal income tax that affects both residents and commuters, no other cities. But you have that mix. You have other states where you see a much greater use of sales tax than we have here in Wisconsin to support municipal governments, still some use of property tax. Then you have the Ohio model, which is very distinct, and they rely on income tax to really the same extent to which we here in Wisconsin rely on the property tax.
Well, and interestingly, Wisconsin is the only state in the Midwest in which municipalities are basically only allowed one tax levying option.
Well, and so that's really the main point is that here in other states, we see municipal governments, particularly in the larger cities, with several options and with more local control. And here, the only game in town, unless you're a premier resort area district. So there's a small handful of municipalities in Door County and in the northern part of the state that have been given sales tax authority, but that's a very, very small portion.
Well, so the report does not recommend a single course of action, but it does lay out some possibilities. One of them, obviously, is the status quo. And so what happens in the case that we stick with the mix that we have?
So the status quo really isn't a status quo in that what we would see is continued increased reliance on the property tax as a percentage. And despite the strict limitations, still the growth per new construction, what we are also seeing is an increasing number of municipal governments turning to referendum to exceed those property tax levy limits. That's a pretty common practice when it comes to school districts. We're now starting to see it municipalities. We are also likely to see much greater reliance on user fees. So the wheel tax is a perfect example. And here, too, we have seen an increasing number of municipalities either enact local wheel taxes or seek to go to voters to do so.
And so that is really part of option one and option two. But we talk about the impact that increasing these fees has. It is a tax that affects some people obviously more than others.
Yeah. So again, you want to look at issues like balance and equity and reliability when you're looking at revenue sources. When we look at fees, in many respects, it's a very strong revenue source to link the user of the service to a fee that's paying for the service. The problem is that whether you own a $100,000 home or a $400,000 home, if your fee is based on your water usage, it's the same rate. And so these tend to be more regressive, and they tend to have the same disadvantage of the property tax in that we are socking it to our residents to pay for municipal services as opposed to trying to be more broad-based and also make sure that commuters and visitors are paying to some extent for the services that they're using.
Well, and so what are the options that would meet that goal?
So that's clearly a benefit of a sales tax, is that when a daily commuter from the suburbs buys his or her lunch, if there's a local sales tax, then part of that can go to supporting the service. The problem with a local option sales tax is that some communities may elect to impose it and some may not, and that can create a tax island island impact and hypothetically could affect some purchasing decisions by individuals.
This is the idea that there's a sales tax that's in Shorewood, and so people go to Glendale to buy whatever it is they're buying.
Correct. And so, again, it depends on how big that tax is, whether that would really happen, but that's another issue. Another option would be for the state to simply tack on another, let's say, a percentage point to the existing state sales tax, which is 5%, and then commit to distributing those revenues back to municipal governments. That could potentially work, but that's a situation where with a shared revenue program, we've seen the state over time not really share those revenues, so there would be some suspicion aroused there. The final option is a local income tax. And, you know, we point out that not wanting to take sides, and on the one hand, income taxes are progressive. They are closely linked to your rate of economic growth so that there are some benefits. But our state income taxes are on the relatively high side. So that would be an argument for a sales tax over an income tax, is that our sales taxes here in Wisconsin are on the low side.
Well, and local income taxes, is this the Ohio model?
Yes, it could be. And again, hypothetically applying it to both commuters and residents so that you are tapping into that broad range of users. I think what's critical to remember here is that there's no silver bullet. There are pros and cons associated with each. There is certainly a place for property taxes. And end of the day, really the discussion hopefully can be about the mix of taxes that we use. Everybody's going to be concerned about their overall level of taxation going up. But we are hoping that the conversation that started here is, let's put that question aside and let's talk about whether we have the right mix here.
And in fact, there was a kind of an interesting mix of organizations that commissioned this research, right?
That is correct. So the League of Municipalities has watched with growing concern as their members have been stretched in terms of the ability to respond to expenditure needs in areas like police and fire. We have the Greater Milwaukee Committee, which is mostly comprised of business leaders in Milwaukee that actually commissioned our earlier report in Milwaukee. And we have the Wisconsin Realtors, where obviously our exclusive reliance on property tax is a concern to that group.
Is there something about 2019 that makes this an ideal time to be considering alternatives to the status quo?
We think so. Not only do we have a new administration, and that's not a critique of the old administration, but sort of a fresh start in Madison, though the legislative leadership is the same. But when the economy is going well, as it is right now, it's a lot easier to talk about changing a revenue structure and causing some disruption. When we're in a period of recession, none of these revenue options are likely to look real good. And so, yes, at a time when we have also small state budget surpluses, this is a very opportune time to look at this question.
Rob Hankin, thank you as always.
Thank you for having me, Mitch.
Rob Hankin is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum. You'll find a link to the group's recent report at WUWM.com. It's titled Dollars and Cents. Is it time for a new municipal funding framework in Wisconsin?